Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, should we do a running order?
Yes, sure.
Basically, should we talk about the serious thing first or later?
Well, I think that we should go... I think I like that. I think that's a really important, interesting discussion. It's a discussion I'm hearing people have. It's a discussion I'm hearing Kitty and Sam having.
What?
Changing our mind about Gaza and Israel. And I think if we do, I think we should do that, and I think it should. We should flag it. I think that should be in the title, and I think we should go in hard and big and first on that.
Okay.
And then cover other things later.
So, yeah, I think the headline would be, the piece I might write would be, I've changed my mind about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've changed my mind about Israel / Gaza. The thing is, we had a podcast, well, it was about a week after the Hamas incursion and the Israeli response, when we talked about it, and I was a bit sort of emotional or whatever, and like I had written a piece since it happened which wasn't about it, and there'd been noise from high up at the paper and elsewhere in London and the world, and I hesitate to say Jewish community, but you know what I mean, going, why haven't you written about this serious thing?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, because I couldn't face it, so I took a deep breath and then, okay, if I'm expected to talk about it, I will. And it was just a podcast that everybody heard and everybody listened to. And then it was the piece that I wrote, which I just looked up again, got 2,000 comments and was the most read piece on the subject in the Times that month, they told me, which is weird. And all I'd done was say, I've got nothing to say.
Mm-hmm. But things have now moved on, haven't they? So that was then, that was back in the middle of October, and you wrote your response to the Hamas attacks.
So what I wrote was that in the light of the calamity that's unfolded in the Middle East during the past 7 days, so it's October the 14th, it's arguable that nothing else matters. And I wrote about whether you can talk about anything else when this terrible thing has happened. And at that time, I was, you know, it was, if you have to ask me what is the right or the wrong way to kill a baby, then where are we? Whether you kill them with bombs like the Israelis or kill them with swords like
yes.
Hamas, you know. I sort of built towards saying, do you remember a week ago before this happened when we thought that the worst thing on earth was the cutting down of the Hadrian's Wall sycamore tree?
Yeah, sycamore guy.
And that Twitter was slightly on the fritz and stuff. And I wrote, it's a fun game. It really is. Until you look at where this thing is going or has gone since I filed this piece. This is October the 14th. And you think, what if we're looking back at all this in a week's time and saying, remember when all we had to worry about was 3,000 innocent people dead.
Yeah.
That was my joke sort of thing to end it on. And we're looking back at it now and it's 30,000 people dead.
Yeah.
And I sort of find that I've changed my mind. That, you know, there was a period when I accepted that calling for a ceasefire was supportive of Hamas. That
yes.
was the thing. People,
yes.
who, called, people who marched on the marches that Priti Patel and Braverman called hate marches, they were calling for a ceasefire, and that was playing into the hands of Hamas, and therefore it was anti-Semitic. And now I've heard, well, you have too, you've heard about the different ways that people have been calling for a ceasefire the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Scottish, what are they called? The Scott Nats, who are what are those fools called?
SNP.
The SNP, there you go. They've called for a sort of called for a ceasefire. And they have two, they, you know, and they've got a Muslim leader and all that kind of thing. And fair enough, they've called for a ceasefire. And that's the old anti-Semitic position. Labour have gone, well, they've now got this pressure. Keir's got this pressure that he ought to call for a ceasefire. That's what the left want, who we've characterised as anti-Semites for calling for it, because it worked, because Israel have got to stamp out Hamas. They've got to be allowed to defend themselves. So Keir's sort of called for a ceasefire on both sides. He's called for sort of everybody stopping fighting, which of course, and then it's very similar to the position which Prince William has now given himself. Yeah. And everyone has been saying, why has he spoken out? He shouldn't speak on politics. And he's just said, they must all stop killing each other, which of course a king should be allowed to say, because it's not political, but it's not a very useful thing for the Labour leader to say, because it's because he's saying he's against killing, and we're all against killing. And so he's in this terrible position of not wanting to say the wrong thing. But if he can't come up with a policy, there isn't any need to say anything. And I now realise that what you have to do, one has to call on Netanyahu and the Israeli government to stop the bombing, because it is grotesque. And Netanyahu is using it to cement himself. And Israel has elections every fucking... Oh, I was going to try and not swear, wasn't I?
Yes.
Israel has elections every 18 months, every 2 years. They can have one now. They need to have an election. They need to get rid of Netanyahu. He's thrown out the two-state solution, as has Sippy Thingy, the ambassador here. You've got to get in an Israeli government that supports, in theory, and eventually in practice, a two-state solution. And they have to stop doing this. I am now, unfortunately, shamed and embarrassed by the association that being Jewish creates between me and Israel. And I've never been shamed and embarrassed. Well, I was shamed and embarrassed to be Jewish when I was a kid because people were mean and anti-Semitic to me. But of late, the last 30 years, I've been proud to be a Jew. And then I found intellectual ways to say, I support the existence of the state of Israel. We've got to have somewhere.
But you don't always support their foreign policy.
That was what I said. That's what Jews like me say. Mm-hmm. I support the right for the Jews to have a state. They have to have somewhere. Look what you Europeans did in the Holocaust. But I don't support the foreign policy decisions of the majority made of the last 30 years by the Israeli government. But I still support. And now I find myself just, it's, I feel it rocked to the bottom. When the flattening of Gaza is so terrible, the relentless bombardment of this thing, it's so terrible, it's so disproportionate. Because the thing about we're going to eradicate Hamas, rubbish. The leaders of Hamas are in Syria. They are in Libya. You're Lebanon, I mean. You're not going to destroy it that way. And you're only going to create more radicalization. So, yes, you've got to get the hostages back. And I'm thinking, well, they've given some back. This thing of the hostages back gives him an excuse to continue doing it. And it made me think, if terrorists based in France, there's some French Muslim terrorists, which they did an attack in London, and then they took 100 hostages, would we flatten Paris? I don't think we would flatten Paris. I don't think flattening the thing. And you see that, and then I've got to say, the Times, I can't help it in my emotional response, the Times, my newspaper, not a Tory paper, but a centre-right paper, and it's very supportive of Israel, has a photo on the front. Have you seen that?
Yeah, okay.
This is not the Guardian. This is not the Socialist Workers' Party, which have been saying that the Israeli army, which I don't believe, have been taking a pleasure in killing in Muslims. But the front is 12 female soldiers, all smiling, standing in front of the rubble of Gaza. And it says, Israeli soldiers record a memento on the border with Gaza as the US stepped up pressure on Israel to call off its planned assault. They're smiling and doing a selfie. And I am wary of taking an anti-Israel stance because my newspaper is pro-Israel and the Murdoch Empire is pro-Israel and my chief executive is pro-Israel and I don't and they were all very happy with the piece I wrote before and I don't. But we are putting on our paper on the front Israeli soldiers taking selfies. We can't be saying it's good. We have to accept that it's bad. They stand on the edge of Rafah, threatening to invade on March the, I forgot what they said, 7th, if they don't get these hostages back, who may be dead or may be alive. And I feel we have to call on them to stop. There are increased anti-Semitic attacks everywhere, and I now think that they're happening because of Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel's letting down the diaspora now. And I'm sorry, I'm just wibbling on. Feel free to interrupt. Tell me to shut up. But I mean...
Okay, fine. Okay.
One more thing.
Okay.
So don't feel free. So I said it, but I didn't mean it. Okay. Behind Netanyahu and the hostages.
Yeah. My door is always open. It's not.
Slam.
Yeah.
No, I know. But I'm saying that... Yes, anti-Semitism on the rise is on the rise and it's terrible. But I think it's happening as a direct result, not ancient anti-Semitism, not age-old hatreds, not mad Muslims.
People are too dumb.
Not mad lefties. Yeah. It's now. I'm never going to look at a crocodile of Jewish schoolchildren walking down a North London street and shout abuse at them because of Israel, because I can see the difference. But I begin to understand how difficult it is for people to see Jews and not think it's your fault.
Right.
Because there's selfies in front of Gaza and weasel words from the government and weird things from the future king. And Golda Meir said, you know, you ask whether we care about our reputation. Yes, we, and this is in the 60s, we would rather be badly thought of and alive than well thought of and dead. Mm-hmm. And I thought that right up to now, where I think, no, they've Netanyahu and Israel have ruined it for every Jew in the world.
Right. So your position, or the question that you want to ask of yourself in a rhetorical but also informative and entertaining way in your Saturday column, is to what extent is Israel and Netanyahu responsible for the reputation of the remaining Jewish diaspora, right? The problem for those Jewish communities and those Jewish people with relation to Israel has always been, I am Jewish, but I am not necessarily Israeli. But the problem is that other people don't see it that way. So while you can say, as a Jewish person, don't ask me about Israel, to comment on Israel, because I am not an Israeli. An Israeli person and a Jewish person are two completely separate things. But the problem is, now, in this moment, they have been completely fused and conflated. So from your point of view, you're thinking, your behaviour is directly affecting me. And that's the problem. And that's always been the problem.
Because of the false equivalence between Israel and its government and the Jews of the world, because mm-hmm. of that false equivalence, because it exists in people's minds, and it's not entirely false, because obviously, as I've said, I support Israel implicitly in a way that I wouldn't if I were not, and I'm sure you don't even. You know, I have extra tolerance for Israel, and I discovered where it lay between October the 7th and now.
Yes, tolerance is a good word.
It's okay, do what you have to, Jews of Israel, to eradicate Hamas and make your future safe. Do what you have to. Whoa, that's getting quite a lot, but I suppose do what you have to. Oh, wow, that's really bad, but as a Jew, I must support you. And then, wow, that's really bad, stop. And then, wow, that's really bad, doubly stop, because I'm a Jew and it's going to make my life impossible.
Right.
Because at some point I will have to cut ties and say this cannot be done.
Right.
And it's just come quite late in the day for me. And I suppose if you need a headline, my headline is going to be, I spoke out before because you said I ought to, and I'm speaking out now because I spoke out before.
Yeah.
And in the end, I would have to come, I supported you because I'm a Jew, then I was a bit nah about it, everyone else was turning against you, then I started to turn against you because what you were doing was so terrible, and now I'm turning against you because I'm a Jew and you're going to make my life impossible.
Yes.
So if you don't stop for them, stop for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of thing.
Yes, I'm not sure Netanyahu really, I'm not sure he's really bothered by that argument, and I think that's
the
problem.
But this is the thing, I'm not talking to Netanyahu. In the same way that Prince William's not talking to Netanyahu, and Keir Starmer and Hamza Yousaf of the Scotland Nats, they're not talking, it's domestic politics. What they think doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter. Netanyahu, it doesn't seem to matter what Biden thinks, although we'll see, because the Americans have used the word ceasefire for the first time in a proposed UN resolution.
Yeah.
So I don't think he cares. And I begin to wonder that Netanyahu's like Putin. I don't think he cares about Israel anymore. I think it's almost as insane,
right.
as Putin's plans in the Ukraine and his killing of Navalny and his mm-hmm. the gradual eradication of his opposition.
I wouldn't. You could forgive the leader of the most contested state in the entire world for perhaps losing perspective by this point. There are arguments swirling around that they knew about the attacks, they allowed them to happen in order to... I said there are rumours swirling around. I didn't... But this is something that they have been accused of. So that's one thing. And then another thing is that there was a critical failure of intelligence and they absolutely did not know and had no clue, in which case that's kind of incompetence, right? So, and they're both terrible. They are both absolutely catastrophic to be like reflections on the government. Either you are massively sort of corrupt and mad, or you're incompetent. And Netanyahu will have a sense of like pride and shame and responsibility and all of these things. And there's that you would forgive him for completely losing perspective at this point, right? Which means that.
Yes, losing perspective like a lunatic demagogue. that's all.
I think even a perfectly reasonable person would lose perspective.
But I don't think I'm not going to write about the state of mind of Netanyahu. It's just that this point has come where they have the point for me would be the point has come where they have to stop because they are putting the life of every Jew in the world at risk.
That's a very good point. That's a 1 point piece, and it's very good.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I was listening to this podcast about why it is that Navalny went back to Russia after he was poisoned, because he was obviously going to be arrested as soon as he arrived and put into prison. And you go into prison in Russia and you basically don't come out. I mean, that's just what happens. That was a likely event. And now he has died at Polar Wolf camp. Some people think he was poisoned. Some people think he was punched in the heart with a special KGB move.
But they got him cold with 2.5 hours at minus 26 degrees. Can you imagine how shit you feel like when you get cold? When you've been out when it's freezing in London, -3, mm-hmm. and you go out to watch a kids' football match or something, mm-hmm. and after half an hour, mm-hmm. if you bang your toe, how painful it
right.
is. You know, imagine 2.5 hours at -26, and they come in and some massive and a punch in the heart. It's not like Sam sometimes punches. It's someone built like Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger who knows how to punch goes. I mean, it makes me want to puke.
It makes me. I've been reluctant to. Sorry, just give me a sec.
Are you upset about Navalny?
Yes. And I didn't really want to talk about it because it feels really bogus because I'm not Russian.
You're not allowed to speak about it if you're Russian. So the only people who are allowed to speak about it are English people.
I suppose so, but I just felt like obviously, you know, he's sort of super handsome and charismatic, and we watched that documentary about him, and he was so like great and cool and just incredibly brave, and he was always kind of laughing on the video, and he was always saying, "Don't worry about me, I'm fine." And he knew that they were gonna kill him, and he went back anyway. But the sorry, one sec.
Well, yes. I mean, I think I'm pretty certain that Aung San Suu Kyi, who turns out now to be a villain, I think she went back to Myanmar knowing that would happen, didn't she? It is a thing that people do.
Yes, it's a thing that people do.
You know, Mandela did his time in prison. They didn't kill him.
No.
It's astonishing to think that we've got a government here which is considerably worse than apartheid South Africa.
exactly. So he went back, and I was thinking to this point, I think it was George Lucas who was talking, not George Lucas, Lucas, anyway, I can't remember what his name is, and he's a sort of Russia expert, and he said, Navalny went back to Russia because he...
Ed Lucas. Good old Ed Lucas. George Lucas made Star Wars. It's very slightly different.
I don't know, maybe George Lucas has got something to say about Polar Wolf camp in Russia as well. Anyway, Edward Lucas, who's really amazing on Russia, he said he went back knowing that he was going to go to prison. He was probably going to die in prison because otherwise the Russians wouldn't take him seriously. You can't just kind of live in Paris and go, oh yeah, Russia's terrible. He basically sacrificed himself for Russia, and he knew that that was a possibility. And I think that, you know, you never know, this might actually elicit change. But you're right, you know, he was an ultimate kind of, patriotic act to go back and sort of die in Russia fighting. Anyway, my point is that the same way that Navalny knew that nobody would take him seriously unless he was doing this from Russia, Netanyahu doesn't really take Jews seriously who don't live in Israel. He's like, Israel is hardcore and we are here on the front line defending ourselves. And if you Jews living a wonderful life in like LA or whatever, if you're not in Israel, I'm not taking you seriously. I think that's where his mind is. And that's why he's doing this kind of with impunity. Sorry, that was a stupid, really stupid roundabout way of...
It was, and we were going to leave Israel alone, but I think it's fair enough to come back to it to make that point and to tie it up with Navalny. And indeed, I now know who Boris Nemtsov is.
We do, exactly. There's this mystery, you explained.
The mystery of the Boris Nemtsov roundabout. Or is it called Boris Nemtsov Place?
It's called Boris Nemtsov Place,
and it's the roundabout at the top of Highgate Road where it becomes Swains Lane.
Yeah.
The worst roundabout in this otherwise beautiful environs of Hampstead Heath.
Yeah.
There's this roundabout where...
And it sprang up one week, a couple of years ago, and everyone was like, who's Boris Nemtsov?
It's someone who Islington are into. It was under, you know, in the Corbyn constituency. And you look him up, and he's a Russian dissident.
Right.
And have you been up there in the last couple of days? All the flowers around it.
Oh, right.
And they're flowers for Navalny.
Oh.
I don't want to start you crying again.
Well,
I know. And maybe Boris Nemtsov, we could have a tear for him. He probably got killed in some fucking ghastly way.
I just wish... The sign is so ugly. It's a really, like, ugly municipal
but
sign.
But also, they've called it Boris Nemtsov Place. And it's like, this is a Russian dissident who got killed in London or somewhere for standing up to Putin. And they've given him a shitty roundabout in
N19. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, they're not going to give him Belgrave Square, are they? Or
I wouldn't. Why? If I'd rather be...
Cheney Walk.
I'd rather be on a bench on Parliament.
The Russians are all in fucking Chelsea. You want to give him Sloane Square, if you want anybody to notice.
True.
But they've given him this shitty roundabout. I think poor old Navalny, what's he going to get? Is he going to get a bus stop in Tufnell Park?
Oh,
for all his pains.
Dear, oh dear. Sorry about that. Right. Jewellery for men?
I don't mind doing that briefly. I want to talk about, we could do women's brains, whether they're different. Yeah.
Why don't we do...
But, I mean, that's funny. I don't mind. Let's do... We can talk about jewellery anyway. We filled it all up with Israel. This is just, you know, tap dancing around the edges. The headline, the thing is going to be called... what's it going to be called, Neil? Remind me.
I've changed my mind about Israel.
Oh, you've changed your mind about Israel. If we clip that, you're a northern Gentile. You are entitled to no opinion on it. No, we're going to do... It'll be Israel. But let's talk... So it's basically... the signet ring is the new it jewellery, is according to the Times 2 fashion. First, it was Connell's silver chain necklace in the TV dramatisation of Sally Rooney's Normal People, the must-watch of lockdown. Now, a new item of on-screen male jewellery is becoming a hit. The signet ring, as worn by Dexter, the romantic lead in Netflix's One Day. Keen-eyed viewers have picked up on a key detail in Dexter Mayhew's scenes. It's not just his blue eyes, blonde hair and boyish charm, anti-Semitic, but his glinting silver signet ring. No doubt sold him by a Jew. Look closely, it appears when he's on screen. That's because the accessory, as it would be in real life, is a permanent part of 27-year-old actor Leo Woodall's costume. Now, Netflix, One Day, that's the thing that I said I wanted to watch. You said, no, it'll be shit, and have now been quietly watching on your own. Little private moments, because it's got that bloke you like out of...
He's not very hot in it, but I'm watching it. I'm watching it because it turns out to be directed by a girl who was at university with me. And I didn't know her very well, but I did know of her because she was... I don't know who the most beautiful girl at Oxford was when you were there, but Molly Manners was, without question, the most beautiful girl in my year at Bristol. So everybody knew who she was.
Is she from the Manners family?
Who
the Teresa Manners and just this super boss. She will be, won't she?
I don't know, but she's incredibly, not like hot. She is hot, but she's like someone that you would like want to put in a painting.
Super hot with an alliterative name.
Molly Manners.
Just that's
and
it.
She was also sort of nice. And
Why bother to direct TV shows?
I did sort of think that when I saw her name come up and I was like, my God. And then I kind of Googled and I was like, my God, like, why would you bother to do that? Why wouldn't you just like...
Marry a hot bloke.
Marry an unbelievable...
With a stately home.
Maybe she is as well and she's doing it for fun. Who knows?
And she just walks her...
It's a bit like Emerald Fennell. Why would you bother directing TV shows?
Who knows? She goes out and walks her three Rhodesian ridgebacks in the across her grouse moor every morning and just phones ideas. Let's make a show of normal people. And then
I started watching it because I thought, please be shit. Okay, please be shit because you can't possibly be the most beautiful girl in the whole of Bristol University and also be a... I can't have this happen. Anyway, it's pretty good. I didn't particularly like the book. And I also found the concept of the Dexter character, who's so sort of posh and entitled and stuff, I just didn't believe that he would fall for this Emma character. In the book, I was like, I'm sorry.
But no, it didn't. You fancied him in Magnolia. What's it called, that show?
White Lotus.
White Lotus. You fancied him there.
Because he was really rough.
Because he was really rough. So yes. You were just sitting there quietly sort of weeping to yourself.
Shut up. Because
every time he came on, because he was kind of like a wild boy.
Yes.
Sorry, he doesn't. That's too modern. He was like kind of a bit like rough,
Essex.
Wasn't he?
He was Essex.
And I thought, because he was wearing a signet ring, and we'll come back to jewellery, we'll circle back to rings.
Yes.
Because I thought he was wearing, because I think of a signet ring as inescapably chavvy for any man to wear jewellery. And so I thought he must be playing a chav. It's a posho, and we'll come back to it. What I want to know from you, my wife, and what's interesting is you've described Molly Manners, who was so beautiful at Bristol, probably kept herself to herself for a bit, and possibly the boyfriend, the guys who you were kind of hanging with, who you wanted to go out with, who didn't want to go out with you, just wanted to go out with Molly Manners.
Oh, yeah. No. Molly Manners was the kind of girl who my friends would, like, openly sort of weep
so
over.
That was her university experience.
Yes.
Then we've got this show. Polly Vernon wrote a piece in The Times saying the thing that's unrealistic is I'd have just shagged him as soon as I met him.
Everyone would.
For some reason of my wife.
Yeah, everyone.
And I imagined...
this is your chance.
So this is the kind
Don't
of...
fuck it up.
So this very, very posh, handsome boy is the kind of boy at Bristol who was desperate to go out with Molly Manners, but you shagged
while
he was waiting.
That happened to me like many times.
The likes of you and Polly who shag your way through university and don't even really
remember it, end up as hacks
in The Times. And the ones who just keep their pants on a bit, get to make dramas like this.
I guess so. Anyway, I did think the idea of this girl sort of not shagging this unfeasibly hot kind of posh boy was a little bit unrealistic. And the fact that he would be remotely interested in her, that lot, they stuck to their own and they liked each other and they fancied each other and they didn't really fancy
girls
like me.
I was a hot posh boy at university and nobody had sex with me.
You weren't posh.
But they didn't have sex with me much. I mean, some of them, but not many.
Let's go into why another time. But okay. I do have the answer as to
why. Because I'm just not sexy.
No, it's because you don't go in for the kill. You just go woo and run off. I have experience of trying to have sex with you, and it was not easy.
Well, let's wrap up this podcast and go upstairs and sort it out. No, so look, the point is this. So the jewelry. A way to write about it. I don't know. That's interesting. I can't write about the shagging because it's not mine.
I think what would be funny is if you at some point could kind of construct for yourself a persona where you're like dripping with, like your ultimate point is even if you're dripping with jewelry like Mr. T, you're still not going to get a shag or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like that could be like the end gag.
Well, it's also...
Will ladies sleep with me if I've got... What if I put on Connor's chain and...
No, that's... You're talking about a T2 photo shoot with Nicola Gill there.
Right.
That is the our esteemed executive editor brackets everything, Nicola Gill, whose main thing is just getting people... trying to get me to get my clothes off, me saying no and her getting Bob Crampton instead.
Yeah.
And if I suggest this piece, she will go, love it! I want you naked with a tiara and a Prince Albert... And then I say no way, I'll get Bob to do it. Yeah, fine. And Bob will do it like a shot. And
is
already
his dream
have the
piece? Is her dream piece a piece from you about why you have decided at 55 to get a nipple ring? I think it probably
is. That is the apogee. Although I think she may not want topless shots from me anymore. I think she probably wants.
No, I've noticed.
James Marriott.
Okay, I've noticed that. Over...
Tom Whipple, Whipple the nipple. He'll do it. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.